Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Tazria Shishi, the sixth Aliyah in Parshas Tazria. Our Aliyah is a little on the longer side. It is 15 psukim running from Perek Yigimel Pasuk Mem to Pasuk Nun Dalad. The topic of our Aliyah is the exclusion of the leper and the tzaras, the leprosy of the clothes. So at the beginning of Aliyah, we hear the continuation. At the end of the last Aliyah, we talk about this idea of tzaras and the karachas and the gabachas. This seems to be some place on the head or more permanent type of tzaras. And we hear that the features of this are that the types of colors are levono adam demes. So there's some sort of whitish reddish hue, which will make this person impure. The main focus of our Aliyah actually really is Psukim Mem Dalet to Mem Vav, where it describes a person who has tzaras what their way of conduct should be. So the first, when the Kohen pronounces this person impure, then that person needs to do the following. Begodov yu ferumim. That means their clothes are rent. They tear their clothes. Roshoy yeforua. Their head is going to be, their hair is left out, unkept. Al safom yater. They really are silent. They are not going to be covered up. They're not going to be speaking. Tomei yikra, they call out, impure, impure. And we know that as they remain in this state of impurity, bodod yeshev michutz lamachaneh moshavo, this person will have to live outside of all the three camps of Israel. Finally, the Aliyah concludes with mitzaras of the beged, the plague which affects clothing, and we hear whether it's a beged semer, a beged pishtim, whether it's on the whoop or the wolf threads, we hear about what happens. And it can form in different times. Yerak, some sort of yellowish, greenish, or a dum-dum, and a reddish hue on it. And we hear about how the coin will examine it in the same kind of way. There'll be a period of 7 days where the coin will see this, and he sees if it spreads. If it spreads, then it's tzoras mameris, hanega, tomehu, it's made impure, and it is burnt. And if not, then if it is not spread, then it will be set up for another 7 day quarantine. So a few basics on our Aliyah. Number one is, first of all, why is a metzora, a person who contracts tzaras, kept alone? Why is aloneness so significant? So many of the Rishonim, many of the medieval commentators in the Torah, including the Bechor Shor, the Chizkuni, the Das Zakenim, all say that it is contagious. This is a contagious disease, and we want to quarantine. This is something which, in the 2020s, we can surely appreciate the notion of quarantining and contagious diseases. There was a concern for this as well. Now, the being as this is a spiritual disease, it is interesting to think about a contagious spiritual disease. But nonetheless, whichever way we understand it, it could be the spiritual behavior is damaging and other people are likely to start acting like that as one possibility. Or another way of looking at it is that it really is a cause for spiritual faults, but it has physical manifestations which are contagious as well. Rashi explains that it's more ideological. It's not about being an airborne or contact-based disease. Rather, it is because this person separated people from people, husband from wife, by spreading bad words about them. So the requisite punishment is to being separated from their community and their family and friends. So it's meant to be a time out for the people to think about what they caused among others by their negative speech patterns. Rav Soloveitchik points out what a lot of people have noted, which is that there are many comparisons between the mitzvah, the treatment of this person who has contracted this plague, and a person who is in mourning. For instance, they both have to let their hair grow, they both rend their garments, they also both are not in a position to speak to others, the avel does not speak to others, does not need to speak to others, and others cannot initiate a conversation with them. So we have these basic similarities. However, Rav Soloveitchik points out there are two distinctions which are important, and that is the mitzora, the person with the plague, is left outside of the community, whereas the mourner is actually embraced by community, and the community come and spend time and visit and comfort them. And number two is when the mitzora, a person contracts tzaras, they are actually banned from Yomim Tovim. That means to say they will not be able to, even if it's Pesach and everybody's coming to the Beis HaMikdash to bring their korban, the mitzora is not going in. And but whereas when it comes to mourning, actually the mourner's personal tragedy is eclipsed by the public tragedy or the public simcha, the public enjoy, and therefore they would celebrate Yom Tov. So two important differences, and that stems, says Rav Soloveitchik, from the fact that this person is a person who has distanced him or herself from community through their own selfish actions, and therefore they have lost their communal standing. In fact, the way Rav Foreman explains this in his videos on this parsha, the way he looks at it is that a person has two elements of existence, as an individual and as a communal, part of the larger, a cell in the larger body of the community. And when a person has acted in this selfish manner and has distanced themselves from others or others from others, when that person does that, what they're essentially doing in a society which is spiritually well, that person has essentially killed their public community persona. Their public persona has died. And what they're essentially doing is they're mourning their public persona until they can heal. In other words, the I, which is part of the we, can be healed and can be brought back to community, which is why part of the process is not with the community. They do not celebrate with the community. The community does not embrace them. They live outside of the community because that is what has died, is the I, we in themselves until it can be rehabilitated. Or question also to be worth asking is, why is this person calling out Tomei, Tomei? So on the most basic level, it's because the person is making the proclamation so people stay away from them, so that that nobody becomes impure. However, the Kleiakos says a really beautiful perspective, and he says that a person, perhaps the way there's the way to read it is not that a person will say open inverted commas, open quotation marks, tame tame, but rather the way it reads is the tame, a person who is impure will say tame yikra, open inverted commas, tame yikra. They will call out tame, which means, as the way the Kleiakos says, that a person who is impure will bring impurity to life. In the way he say, the way it's described in one of the idioms, is that a person who is a poisel, a person who invalidates others, b'mumoy poisel, is actually really reflecting their internal disarray, their internal problems outwardly. And that's what's happening over here. Tame yikra, a person who is noticing calling tame to those around them, is really tame in themselves, impure internally. Now, why does our eyes come upon the clothes? So the Marasha, in his commentary of lining up the seven conditions with the seven types of sins, he says that this actually parallels the idea of gezela, of theft. And a person who's involved in stealing from other people, then actually their clothes, which is sort of their what it is that they're a person who spends so much money on to clothe themselves, it's their a public figure that is now affected. It's almost like undermining who they are and what they earned. Finally, how could it be a sickness of tzaraas can affect an inanimate object? Meaning, up till now we talked about a human being. A human being is a living organism. That organism can get sick, but clothes are inanimate. Wool does not get sick. So how can it get sick? So the Abarbanel suggests, or quotes a few options. One is the Ralbag, Gersonides, who says that actually it's an external disease which grows on the inanimate object. So like sort of like mold, fungus, all kinds of, it's an external entity which is the living organism on the inanimate object, which is what was being described here. The Ramban says no, the reason why it works as such is this is a miraculous plague. This is not something which necessarily operates in the same way. Even, you know, when moths eat clothing, they're not eating the clothing. What they're doing is they're eating the wool, which has perhaps a stain or some nutrients on it. But the Ramban says in this case, no, this plague is supernatural. It is only at times when Israel are living up to their calling, which is why it's hard to explain it in physical, regular medical terms. The Abarbanel himself has a very fascinating suggestion. He says that this is perhaps sequential to the plagues we've talked about in the last few aliyahs. That means to say, when a person, let's say, contracts psoriasis, and they have all these welts and scars and rashes or wounds or burns which have turned into psoriasis, then in those situations, a person is wearing these clothes. So these types of clothes, the tzemer, the pishtim, which a person wears against their body, are likely to be infused, likely to have stains from the experience of the plague itself. And therefore, after they have now become pure, they come to the Kohen and they say, well, look at these stains on the clothing. In the end of the day, is this pure or is this not pure? And that's what's being described here. And the question is can one contract psoriasis back from the stains that one had through one's own experience of the plague backwards? That's the Abinadab's perspective. Obviously, a very unique perspective in looking at this entire section. With this, we conclude the sixth Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful